I'm Chris Carl, WDEL News. Now back to the Rick Jensen Show, live and local on 1150 AM WDEL.
Well, a new controversy arose following Chancery Court's decision that because Bob Weiner, county councilman, was given incorrect information by the land use department and attorney, the vote for the Stoltz project has been invalidated. Now, you got people angry saying, oh my gosh. Well, because of that, that means Stoltz can go and build this great, big, honking King of Prussia-style development, which will bring us seven times more traffic and be a nightmare and a horror only because Bob Weiner did not know what he was doing. Bob Weiner comes back and says, you know what? Here's the bottom line. I have argued for a couple of years that county council does have the right to study, discuss, and present to the public traffic studies, traffic impact studies. Other members of the council said, no, shut up. You're not allowed to talk about that. Shut up about that. So over the course of time, as WDEL News has learned and Bob Weiner has said, he laid all these sort of legal landmines in the public record. The landmines showing that he has always wanted transparency when it comes to the kind of traffic problems a development will cause you, the WDEL listener. Whereas others are saying, no, that doesn't need to be part of this discussion at all. So, Bob Weiner said, you know what? He was vindicated because of this decision. Others are saying, well, because of Bob's ignorance, the whole thing's screwed up now. Bob went on to say, no. Penrose Hollins, George Smiley, you guys are in the bag with Stoltz Development Company. Pretty harsh accusation. Councilman Bob Weiner's on the phone right now. Was that a fair enough assessment of the situation so far, Bob?
Rick, Bob Weiner, thank you for allowing me to speak. Ooh. I would not have characterized it, nor did I, that any council persons were, quote-unquote, in the bag. What I said was that council persons unintentionally were supporting the misinformation provided by the Land Use and Law Department.
Well, when they yelled at you and shouted at you, and that audio's on record, to shut up and don't talk about that, doesn't that suggest that they're more than just ignorant, that they're actually taking a side here?
Well, they may have been taking a side, but I wouldn't say that they were, in fact, in collusion. I think they were unwitting, duped, unintended supporters for the incorrect interpretation of the law.
Now, you and I talked before, and you used the word corruption. What happened to that?
There, I believe there was corruption as between the previous counsel for the county and previous counsel for the applicant, but I did not extend that to council members. I said they were unwitting dupes.
So who were the council people that were corrupt, in your mind?
I don't believe any of them were corrupt. I just believe they were unwitting dupes.
But the corruption existed, but it was not purposeful.
So on the part of county council persons, yes.
Okay, so you're not saying that George Smiley and Penrose Hollins are purposefully working for Stoltz Development. You believe that their passion regarding the lack of traffic study needed for the public happens to come from where then?
Blind faith that whatever the county attorney says, whatever the developer's attorney says, and whatever the county land use department must be taken at blind faith to be correct.
All right, so where is their blind faith wrong?
Well, just reading from the judge's decision itself, don't need to go outside the words of the vice chancellor when he said, in short, I find nothing in the UDC to support the statements of the Land Use Department and Developers Council that county council was prohibited from considering traffic as part of its vote. And then later on in the decision, the court said, in light of the law, it's evident that the legislature and council itself intended for traffic information to be available, the italics was added by the judge, to the county council. And one other quote, the defendants failed to appreciate that what Councilman Weiner sought was the ability to cast an informed vote. And again, the judge puts the word in italics, informed. And of course, by the time I had fought for 2 years against the misinterpretation, by the time I got to the county council vote in October 27, 2011, I said, oh, isn't it a shame that council is not entitled to the traffic? I didn't agree with that interpretation, but those are the rules of this game that we're dealing with tonight. Had I had that information, I might have voted differently, but in the absence of any traffic data, I'm going to vote for what I perceive to be the lesser of two evils. But at that time, I made a very careful record to enable a judge, if the case were appealed, to corroborate what I had said. And I've been waiting for 2 years for the possibility of a judge, here in this case, Vice Chancellor Glasscock, to corroborate and vindicate my interpretation. Council members would not support my interpretation. None of them would. And it's not as if I'm trying to make them look bad. I really want to help them. But there's a sort of a negativity towards me. The world that I live in outside of county council is one reality. And once you get into the county, there's another reality.
Well, sure. I mean, you've damaged some egos. You have a Delaware talk show host, me, Rick Jensen, saying that there's corruption and mentioning their names and that you've laid this out. And you saying, well, they're not intentionally corrupt. They were just fooled. They were tricked. Now, there's egos involved. Neither Penrose Hollins, who is an attorney as well, right?
No, he's not.
Okay, he works for DuPont, doesn't he?
He used to.
Used to. Okay. I thought his background was in law. What's his background then?
He had a technical job with DuPont Company before he retired.
Okay. And then George Smiley, who's not. Their egos are surely bruised and battered. They're probably very angry right now and would be very angry to hear that, you know, they were pawns. No one wants to think that they were a pawn in something. So they're going to be angry with you. Whereas, actually, if they were, and it seems like they were, tricked, fooled, or whatever, by land use and the land use attorney, they should be angry with them, and I guess with Stoltz playing everybody like a marionette then, right?
Yes, it's a shame that the two mentioned council persons have instead tried to change a subject from where their anger should be directed to simply selectively picking a few words out of the court decision to say that, oh, I shouldn't be trusted because my decision was, legalistically speaking, arbitrary.
Well, let's get into this, the legalistic phrasing. It's arbitrary and what's the other word?
Arbitrary and capricious.
Okay, arbitrary and capricious. Now, when we hear these words in just our everyday conversation, we think, oh, well, that's an individual who's making a decision for no good reason, it's just arbitrary and capricious. But in the legal world, arbitrary and capricious has a completely different meaning, which is?
Reading from the judge's decision, quote, although the phrase arbitrary and capricious appears to imply a conjunctive standard, in reality it is a unitary term implying an unreasoned, irrational, or unfair process. However, there was no hint of caprice or acting upon mere whim in the Councilman Weiner's deliberative process. It's clear from the record that he himself created that he was troubled by having to take an uninformed decision, end of quote. And why was it uninformed? Because every time I demanded for the court, for the legal and law departments to change and recant their position that we weren't entitled to traffic, they refused to recant.
So the judge is saying about you, specifically and personally, there was no caprice, no arbitrariness, nothing at all. What was capricious and arbitrary was the fact that you were given false information, had to vote based upon that false information, and so the situation was one that was capricious and arbitrary.
Yeah, arbitrary, yes.
And yeah.
Of course, I'm referring now to the judge's conclusion. Furthermore, my own review of the UDC amendments leads me to conclude that any assertion that county council was legally barred from considering traffic information in advance of a vote on the rezoning ordinance was incorrect.
Now, there's audio, there are recordings, much to the chagrin of county council members, where you were shouted down by a couple of council members when you started to bring up the question of traffic data, right?
That's correct, on three different occasions.
And tell my listeners what happened on those three different occasions.
Well, on the first occasions, I took exception to the land use general manager and the council, the previous council for the applicant, saying that county council had no right to consider traffic. This was, for me, the tipping point. They said, well, we changed the processing of applications from three steps to two steps, and we're going to interpret this to mean that traffic now bumps to the end. And I said, that's not how the law reads. You're just misinterpreting and reading those words in. I lost that battle. Second of the three battles I lost was when Land Use and Law Department said, well, we're going to bless this as a redevelopment project, a perfectly functioning office complex, whereas it should have been limited to underperforming, abandoned, or vacant shopping centers or gas stations. And then they said, we're going to bless this rezoning as by right with a commercial by right to build 750,000 square feet within the office regional. Then they gave a positive recommendation for a rezoning to 1.6 million. And as finally as a Pyrrhic victory, I fought the final battle and lost it by 12-1 vote. I said, okay, County Council, let's assume that you're correct. Traffic is not required in a redevelopment project. Wouldn't you accept my amendment to make it part of that? And not one council member would support it, thinking, trusting our Land Use and Law Department. So when I got to the rezoning a few months later, I said, you know what? It's already been decided, and I have clearly made a record, which people wish weren't on tape, that traffic is a by right of any council person. But I'm going to have this discussion and make a record. I didn't want to be attacked collaterally by the bullies on council saying, we're interrupting Council Winder. He can't talk. He just mentioned, you know, bad words by saying the Land Use and Law Department is wrong. So I simply said, oh, isn't it a shame we're not entitled to traffic data? My vote might be different, but nonetheless, in light of this fact, I'm going to vote for the lesser of two evils.
And every time you did this, you documented this, you kept a record of this, and you say that you did this knowing that you are setting a legal landmine, a set of stepping stones, as it were, for the future, for the opportunity to say, here's what I've said over the years about whether or not council is prohibited or required or able or allowed to look at traffic data, in the hopes that it would get to somebody like the vice chancellor, and you could say, hey, here it is. This is what
actually, I wasn't represented before the vice chancellor because I would have had a much different
position. But you were hoping that you would have this record so that it would go before someone, so they could say, oh, wow, look, he's laid it out over the years.
Yes, and this is one thing that detractors really miss. If I was the tie-breaking vote, voted last. If I had voted against the Stultz rezoning, the application would have died, and the court would never have had a chance to judicially rule on the County Land Use Department and Law Department's abuse of law.
Because there would not have been a lawsuit.
That's correct. And
yeah.
And my complaints about the misinterpretation of the law, well, I'll be euphemistic, would never have reached a judicial review. Now I'm vindicated because after 2 years, I'd be able to stand up after being abused for all those years and say, you know, the vice chancellor's correct.
Well, what do you say to fellow councilmen, you've got Penrose Hollins and George Smiley, or you're saying that now this whole thing screwed up because of you and you didn't know what you were doing?
I'm hoping that they'll be reflective and realize that I'm trying to help council recognize that we are the final decision makers. We have to think independently, and we should respect each other and agree to disagree with each other respectfully and not beat down other council persons who may disagree with them.
So now, in the future, when there's any sort of development coming that will affect Newcastle County, we know, and council knows, in no uncertain terms, that county council is not prohibited from having traffic data.
Yes,
as part of their decision. It's not required.
Right.
There's not required, but they're not prohibited. So I guess now the battle will be which councilman or woman will say, let's with some big development, Stoltz is going to come back down the pike somehow, I guess, and which ones will say, oh, okay, yeah, we want traffic impact, and which ones we say don't want the traffic impact. And by the way, regarding traffic impact, of course, DelDOT requires that, but would that require any more investment from the developer to provide county council with a traffic impact statement or study?
Well, this gets into a number of issues. We have new traffic regulations, which DelDOT has adopted. But before I get into that, let me just say that county council can consider traffic at its discretionary vote, the time of the rezoning. When it gets to what's called the ministerial vote or record plan approval afterwards, then county council can only send it back to land use department or law department for review of technical questions about code compliance. But it must, by case law, ultimately approve the project as long as it's code compliant. Council members need to understand the distinction. A vote by some council members last council meeting showed that they didn't understand the distinction. All of them seem very, now willing to consider traffic, but they need to understand the difference between a discretionary rezoning vote and a ministerial record plan approval vote.
Got to take a weather, commercial, and news break. Councilman Bob Weiner, when we come back, I do want you to hang on. And when we come back, how much money could this cost a developer? Because that's one of the big reasons why developers really want to get around having any kind of traffic impact study. It can cost millions of dollars. All right, Bob Weiner, vindicated by Chancery Court's decision. And interesting that he would have to vote yes on the project for it to be able to be adjudicated, as opposed to no, then it wouldn't have gone to court.
Welcome back.
We deal with the apparently three most fearsome words in the English language.
Rick Jensen Show on 1150 AM WDEL.
Okay, so some egos are bruised and battered. Bob Weiner, county councilman, truly vindicated by the Chancery Court decision that county council does have the right to look at traffic impact data when a development is being proposed for the county. They're not prohibited. They're not required either. It's during a certain part of the process. And Bob Weiner's on the phone right now with not just saying, hey, look, here's what I laid out over the last 2 years, here's why now we have this decision, but also to talk about what the solutions are going down the road and hopefully a change in county council when it comes to looking at traffic impact. So, Bob, thanks for being on the phone. I appreciate it, sir.
Thank you, Rick, for having me back.
Okay, now, about this, you're hopeful that in the future, let's talk about the Stoltz project, because I guess in some way it's coming back, right?
Well, the Stoltz project may come back in various forms. Recall right now that the vice chancellor has not issued his final order, which will be due in a few weeks after the recent decision, and then either side can appeal. So until we have the final decision and determination of appeal, we won't know where we are. Hypothetically, we know some possibilities, but we do know for sure that at the record plan approval process, in this case, the traffic analysis by DelDOT will have to be done. Traffic analysis, as I've said for 2 years, is not sufficient. All a traffic analysis says, engineers say, well, you've got 1.6 million or 2.8 million. Here's how you would solve the problem. A flyover at the key intersections and writes in, writes out, et cetera. In this case, it'll be carefully scrutinized, so I'm sure DelDOT will come up with solutions. But the real solution would have been, as I've said all along, a commitment of funding for needed improvements. In fact, that's what the Gordon administration and I did with the project known as AstraZeneca. With the help of Roger Roy, we got a commitment of $140 million front-end loaded in the first year of a seven-year appropriation, so that in January of 2000, the construction started, was totally funded, so that when AstraZeneca opened up at December 2007, there were all the improvements online. That funding could not have been misappropriated because it was appropriated up front, and that had never been done before. That's the kind of support we need, coordination between state and county, or else we end up with the taxpayers dealing with the traffic jams after the developer has long since moved on to other projects.
Yeah, I remember your interview with Al Nudell here on WDEL, and he said, well, because of this decision and your yes vote, your deciding yes vote, gosh, they could go back and have the great big project. And you said, yep, they could.
Yeah, and let me refine that, because I had more than 3 minutes now.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, my review of county code does not show a specific requirement that all components of the 2.8 million, quote-unquote, by-right mixed-use project for Barley Mill Plaza be constructed in tandem. This, quote-unquote, requirement is an unwritten, unestablished policy, in my opinion, and not consistently applied. In fact, the county has previously taken conflicting positions on whether each phase of a mixed-use project must be constructed in tandem with each other phase. Now, I hope I'm wrong. I hope the county law department can come up with some verbiage in the UDC that says, oh, you've got to require it. But I think it's more likely that Stoltz will argue that the law is arbitrary and capricious, using that term again, if interpreted to require them to build in stage phasing, and therefore they can just go ahead and build the residential towers behind Westover Hills and West Haven right away, and there's a market for residential.
Well, a lot of us really suspect that what Stoltz wants to do is start building this thing and then sell it off for millions of dollars to some developer in New York and move on.
That's correct. It's very likely that Stoltz is only really looking for what's called entitlement, the approval. That's his finish line.
Let me ask you about your feelings about bad actors in the county. Land use and land use attorney David Culver were the ones who were saying, hey...
he's not a land use attorney. He's a land use planner who's general manager.
Planner and general manager. Well, who do you think are the bad players here, and why do you think they would misinform counsel?
I don't want to try to make any accusations except to say that... David Culver is a very good general manager. He happened to be wrong on this. Courts overrule general managers all the time. Now, the court has set the law straight. The county attorney was overruled. My fellow counsel persons who espoused this position were overruled. And I think we should just go forward and not make any finger pointing going forward.
It could cost a developer millions of dollars for the kind of traffic study that's required for many of these plans. Would it also cost them millions of dollars potentially for the kind of traffic study or information that the county council would want?
Well, I have to say maybe, as an attorney and as a county councilman, because there are new DLDOT regs which go into place in the play now, and some things are grandfathered, but changes in process are generally not. This is a change in process, and therefore we need to determine, is Stoltz going forward going to be guided by the new regs that DLDOT just adopted, which says you don't need to pay for the traffic study, you don't need to pay for all improvements, you just pay your fair share to a study of the area. Think of a watershed. This is a traffic shed. And there are other users in this traffic shed, DuPont Company, Barley Mill Plaza, and other commercial users. They all would pay into this fund, and it was called a traffic designated area, TID is the acronym, and then they can proceed forward. So projects are not held up until traffic problems are alleviated. They simply pay and pass go. Don't have to pay their $200 to use the monopoly term.
Let's get to Carmine, 478-9335. Carmine, you're on WDEL with County Councilman Bob Weiner.
Well, good afternoon. Good afternoon, Councilman. Rick, you were talking about the, you're talking about land use and you're talking about the traffic impact and all those other things. When you look, and then there's no money for it. I think part of the problem is that you're putting up these programs that cost money. You have no money to really get these programs off the ground, yet we're moving forward with programs just like the federal government in a unchecked scenario because you don't have the money. And as private individuals, we have to have a balanced checkbook. And when you all these programs sound great and growth is, you know, good as long as it's controlled. But when you're talking about the things that are being processed right now, look at all the projects on 95. Look at all the all the projects are being done all one time. And I understand that there's that time limitation by the federal programs that you have to do it within this much time to get the funding. But if you don't have the money, what are we talking about? If there's no money in a budget and you you set up your budget 2 years, 3 years, 4 years in advance, then what are we talking about? There's no money. There's no money 2 years down the road. There's no money 3 years down the road. And all we're doing is finding ways of taxing the individual. And when you talk about the blue collar, the impoverished, and then the wealthy, and you're looking at those three economic brackets, you're just playing on the switch and shell game. You're just looking for, and let's tax the cigarette guys, and let's tax the gas guzzlers, and it's all for naught because you're going to run out of money again because of the increased wages. And again, I'm not picking on politicians in particular, but I understand what your job is, and that job is to create these things. But did you ever think of a moratorium? A moratorium, I remember we were down building in Ocean City, Maryland back in the early 70s. And we were on 125th Street on the Bayside. And we already had it surveyed. We had the okay. Everything was honky-dory. We had the rental trailer out there. It was called the Cove. And we were getting ready to, you know, start getting people to put their money in. And then there was a building moratorium put in because the first eight big complexes on the ocean, they were, and the water problem. It was the sewage problem down there. But they put a moratorium on. Even when we were ready to start rentals, they stopped it. Isn't there something, because they didn't have the money. They didn't have the money, and they were willing to put this guy who is investing all these millions of dollars, to put him on hold, to fix the problem with the little money that they had. 2 years later, they went and moved forward with all the building down there. It's almost similar to the point where you have all these infrastructure problems here. We know we have them. We know the bridges are falling apart, the railroad. I saw thing on the rail system last night. It was like, oh my God, are you kidding? And we know that they cost millions of dollars, and we know you don't have the money for them. There's got to be a cease and desist situation where, hey, we'd love to have all this candy, but we can't afford it. But we can afford the 5 cent candy. But there's no way to make it cheap on building bridges and roads and all the other things that we need. But wouldn't it be good just to be able to regulate what we already have, get it to where we need it, and then say, okay, in this amount of time, we're going to have this much of the tax base, we're going to have this much money, and we're going to allocate it that way.
All right, Bob, quick answer.
Well, there's many points raised, but the concurrency of infrastructure requirement says that we're supposed to pay as we go, and users are supposed to pay the cost of development. We've gotten away from that. Just for the record, developers under the traffic impact study system must pay for their traffic impact studies and for certain allocated fair share of their improvement. The new system or traffic operational analysis, developers will simply pay a fee, and then that'll be towards a holistic solution of traffic within the related traffic area, traffic shed. That will enable developers to go forward with a deterioration of traffic level of service within a period of time that could be decades or without any date in the end. So we're simply going to be sacrificing, I'm not going to put a value judgment on this, but we're going to be sacrificing level of service for development. And, you know, I can make arguments both ways, but the technical got into a much longer time. I only answered one small aspect of Carmine's point.
All right. We got to get rolling here. One last question from Bill, 478-9335. Bill, you're on WDEO with Bob Weiner.
Hey, Rick, how are you? Councilman?
Good. Hi, Bill.
I had a question. How much shopping do we need in Delaware?
That's a really good question, Bill. The problem is that there's only so much traffic that's going to come into Pennsylvania, from Pennsylvania to Delaware, to avoid sales tax. And new shopping centers can end up cannibalizing the existing commercial in the city of Wilmington and surrounding area around Barley Mill Plaza and Greenville and create vacancies and blight, which brings crime, which is why holistically we need to say, look, we should not have commercial rezonings in areas that are already well served. We should look to other opportunities, the residential or office, or reutilizing the existing infrastructure in places where that they're sort of partially abandoned, already in the blight condition. And that was a much smarter economic strategy.
Yeah. Hey, Bill, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We're out of time. So last word to you, Bob Weiner. What do people need to know? What do you think is important? What do you want folks to know about this?
Well, the original plan that the community had endorsed was for Barley Mill Plaza was a new urbanist, smart growth, village-like, walkable, mixed-use plan, which would have given the developer 1.6 million square feet where residents would walk to where they live, shop, work, and play, and not just designed for Pennsylvanians to come here. The Stoltz attorney said, I will not even show this plan to my client. That was a crime. I'm hoping rather than litigation that we can resolve this through amicable negotiations and get back to a new urbanist plan. Something's going to happen. There is this document called the United States Constitution.
Yep.
It says you have a right, property rights, so something will happen at Barley Mill Plaza. It will never be a green space.
All right, Bob Weiner, Mr. Scowls, or your fellow county council people, your next meetings, I certainly hope that the council does request traffic studies for something like this. I mean, I've seen studies that show there could be over 7 times more traffic, which would lead to a widening of the Tyler McCollum Bridge, which would lead to 18-wheelers going up through the area to get over to Route 1 in Pennsylvania, which would lead to more darn traffic, and what a mess. I thank you.
Keep in mind, the office complex has been virtually vacant for years, so we don't even know the kind of traffic that 1.1 million, we don't remember what it creates, and that was just a few years ago.
Thanks for your time, sir.
Thank you.
All right, Councilman Bob Weiner here on WDEL.